It is a career adventure. I'm Nate Claiborne, the Jersey to Job podcast, as we look to try and identify and help life after the game for prospective, current, and past college student athletes. Today on our episode, it's been a little while since we last connected. When we had talked to Jake Hirschman, one of the co-authors of 20 Secrets to Success for NCAA Student Athletes Who Won't Be Going Pro, going through that book and visiting with Jake, you find out so many things and along the pathway of student athletes and really anybody in general on that path to try and find that career with a passion when they are set to head out into the real world. A gentleman that has really been out in the real world is Lee Cockrell. He's a former executive vice president of operations for Walt Disney World. Spent a lot of time through Marriott hotels, Hilton hotels, but he had some life lessons along the way and really using experience and his network along the way to advance him through the hospitality and management fields, spending time with Disney, helping to open Disneyland Paris, and then really getting some things organized and streamlined at the theme park outside of Orlando, Florida. About 10 years ago, I started following Lee. He had a book that came out called Creating Disney Magic, and it was really got into topics of leadership and customer service, something at that time when I was evolving out of the world of college athletic administration that I was really drawn to for a lot of just common sense leadership strategies that he developed in his time at Marriott and really solidified them at Disney. Since then, he's put out that book, but he's put out a book called The Customer Rules, 39 Essential Rules for Delivering Sensational Service. He is well known for his time management techniques. Time Management Magic is a book, and also his latest one is Career Magic, and that's one that I just completed. Prior to actually getting a chance to meet with Lee when our family was vacationing in Florida here recently. Lee is not above getting a chance to just visit with people by phone, exchanging emails, chance that I had along with my freshman daughter to actually visit him at a Starbucks on a Saturday morning and talk and visit with him about his life and leadership theories and very interested in the pathways that my daughter will be taking as she goes through high school and where that happens to go beyond. One thing I really have stayed connected with Lee on, at least from my standpoint, and I call him a digital mentor, is his weekly podcast, Creating Disney Magic, with his host, Jody Mayberry. But I connected with Lee, at least from my angle, about 10 years ago. As I said, I was evolving out of college athletics and was really drawn to some of his teachings. This was a book even that I, as I was departing that world, had given it to two people that... I had oversight of me in that situation. One included current athletic director Leon Costello, who's at Montana State. And I feel like there's some pieces through the book that he's taken into his life. Another one was the athletic director I was working for at the time. Gave it to him more as an influence of, here's some ideas that maybe you should consider in trying to be a better leader. It's a nice tool to get into and really see some perspective on how somebody who started really not knowing where he was going ended up from the Army into being a banquet server and has climbed to the top of the hospitality management and leadership angle. Lee really has gotten into being a time management guru. His day planner, he is religiously keeping track of his to-do, his schedules. All that's asked of him, even in retirement, is all in that day planner. He will talk through in his time management magic book that, yes, using our iPhones and Outlook and Google Calendars, etc., and all these apps and tools that you can use are great to a sense, but really having that down on paper and being able to see that is something that he has found great value in and has even created a morning magic planner that's available on his website. As we get into this, Lee Cockrell talking about the importance of time management, a piece that student-athletes and their parents throughout high school and even college, it's keeping track of your time. Where are your hours spent? You don't have a lot of it outside of competition and academic demands, but how do you spend that time? Time management is a trait that so many employers are identifying, and you can see that in student-athletes. But there's also so many other soft skills that can be developed along the way, and a lot of times it's just through experience. Where do people really go wrong when they're looking at that time management or developing those skills, like asking questions or just even coming outside themselves to see you know, to listen to somebody or find a leader or a mentor?
Well, I think it's most people are in this situation. Just think about all the people you know. They just don't know. It's like a math course or an English course. It can be learned, and they haven't taken the course. It's not something that's top of mind because they just have never thought about it that way. A lot of people just think, well, it's just the way it is. I've always been this way, and I always tell people, nothing's the way it is. It's the way you let it be. And when you're not good at something, you go get help. You get a, you know, I have a trainer. It helps me with my training. I have a computer guy that takes care of my computer. I have a good tax accountant. I don't know how to do anything, but I got people around me that do. And I make sure they teach me how to do it so I get better every day. And that's the problem. People just don't realize this is a learned thing. It's not you were born unorganized. Most people are not overworked. They're underorganized, frankly. I think most people can do 50% more if they get their act together. And there's a lot of things I talk about in my book about how to do that. Get the right people, make sure you're training your people properly, create the right culture so people are excited to come to work in the morning. All those things contribute to higher productivity and performance and less anxiety and depression that we got going on in America right now.
But this is, you know, you weren't always the expert in this. You had some bumps along the road in your career adventure some bruises along the way that pushed you into trying to think this way as a leader.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, if you look at my career, it's like the Dow Jones average from 1929 forward. Yeah. It was up and down and flat, and it ended up okay at the end. That's what I always tell people. Just hang in there and keep going, because I did have a lot of bumps and I had to learn how to trust people more. I had to learn how to delegate better. I didn't know how to do big projects. I was afraid of exposing what I didn't know to people. So I would sit around and not get started on a project because I didn't want to pull people into it and tell them I didn't even know what I was doing. And after I did this course and started implementing it, I learned, hey, I don't have to be an expert on everything. I just got to get it done. And there's a lot of principles I learned about it that nobody had ever told me. I just didn't know. And I was insecure because I didn't have a college degree. So when you're insecure, you know, you really don't want to show people you don't know something. And so you got to face up to what you're weak in, whether it's your strength or exercise or your financial knowledge. You got to make a list of the hard things you're not dealing with in life. When you deal with hard things, life gets easier. That's all I know.
Yeah, in Career Magic, on page 54, is that the fact is you're really only a fool if you don't know something and you fail to ask questions. No one respects someone who thinks or even acts like they know anything. Being humble is a big deal and gains you a lot of credibility. Where did you finally pick up on that? You know, that you finally said, I need to ask questions because I need to figure this out.
Well, a chef told me once, I ordered avocados for a banquet for 3,000, and I didn't order them early enough. They're hard as a rock, and they were going to be stuffed with crab meat. I had to put them out around the pool in the sun and cover them and get them. also, I ordered the wrong melon once for a big party, and he said, Lee, when you don't know something, you ask questions. You're a fool once, or you're a fool your whole life. When you ask a question, you're only a fool once. I'll never forget. I can still see him telling me that. He was not happy that day. And I was totally stressed out.
So you fast forward, some years and you end up at Disney World. And that's probably a path, too, you hadn't expect to get into.
I didn't even expect to ever go to Disney World. We were pretty poor growing up. And I'd never been to Disney World until I went to work for them. So I didn't tell them that in the interview. Yeah, we just never went. And even when we were married and had a baby, you know, we couldn't afford that trip. So we used to go visit relatives on our vacations. So, yeah, it was quite something. And I was surprised. I tell people, if my teachers heard in high school that Lee Cockrell ran Disney World operations for 10 years, they'd say, you must be mistaken. It couldn't be the same Lee it was here. Somebody stole his identity. So, but it happens. And I tell people, and I tell your listeners, don't ever underestimate what you can do. You know, when you're 20, you can be insecure. You can have a lot of problems. You can try to blame it on your mother and everybody else. But at the end of the day, you got a lot of time to get your act together. And I just tell them, be great. Be an expert in something. Be better than everybody else. And you might be surprised what you can end up doing. Yeah. Exposure and experience.
One thing we have in common, we both have a son named Daniel. And I would feel like your Daniel has more than made up the lack of time he got to spend at Disney World as a kid.
Yeah, he joined Disney when he got out of Boston University. He's been with Disney 27 years and worked in France 5 years. He married a French lady. He is the vice president of the Magic Kingdom now, but he's got a good degree in political science. He's got an MBA. He's gone to the Wharton School for finance courses. He's like 10 times smarter than I am.
But yeah, you know how he got there. But you said too, he competed at Boston University as in athletics as well.
He did. He walked on football. He couldn't get a scholarship or anything, and he got frustrated because he never got to play. He was good enough to walk on, so he said he would strap his helmet on, strap the buckle, take it off, put it down. So he dropped out of football and went to rugby, and he became a real star in the rugby up there and became the captain of the All-American team when they played Canada in 1991, I guess, and he loved it. He just went back right last weekend. He was nominated into their Rugby Hall of Fame. So he's quite happy with those decisions he made about sports. I think that's where he learned a lot about leadership with sports. And I mean, I think most of what he learned was around sports, not counting all the coaching I gave him through the years.
Sure, sure. But even looking through that, he had to balance some time, and there was some demands on his schedule too. But you must have raised him right that he was looking down the line, maybe a big picture. Can you take some credit for that?
I do. I made him go to my time management course before he went to college. I said, Daniel, let me tell you how this family works. We pay for 4 years only. We don't do 5, 6, 7 year programs. Sure. And so you go to class, you sit on the front row, you tell the professor he's doing a good job, and you'll get better grades because that's how real life works. Relationships, get to know people, sit up where you can pay attention. Don't sit up in the back. And he graduated in 4 years, and my grandson just graduated in 4 years, and our granddaughter's on track for 4 years. It's a matter of being clear with them about how expensive college is, and you got to focus. That's what you're there for. You're not there to do anything else but to graduate.
Well, it doesn't sound like the apple falls too far from the tree. Even you were talking before we started recording on your granddaughter, Margo, who was heavily involved in playing sports and had a number of offers, but she saw a big picture, didn't she?
She was a big star in high school, college. She had a lot of scholarships for soccer. Her mother's French, of course. If your mother's French, you love soccer. And her mother taught her to play, and they played. She was just outstanding. And she got scholarship offers. She turned them down. She said, she's going to school and focus on her studies. That's what she's going to do. And she went to Boulder, University of Colorado. She's focused on her studies. She's doing great. And she went and got a job 4 nights a week in the canteen. And I said, why? She said, because I have time. I can fit it in. So, boy, I was shocked because we didn't tell her she had to get a job. And she sure got one. She said, I make $700 a month. And I think she found a boyfriend there, too. So it worked out pretty good.
that was a piece where, you know, she saw, maybe took your advice on experience being a pretty good teacher. Working in a part-time job. So much things you can learn from that.
She told me, I can cook 40 hamburgers at a time, Pappy, and I know which ones are rare, medium, and well done. I said, put that on your resume.
Well, I got to think she's someone in the minority, I'm going to guess nowadays, just because of her taking an initiative to go do something like that. But I got to think she was probably pretty tight scheduled anyway when she was competing in high school, and she just carried that into college to be able to manage her studies and also be able to find a part-time job as well.
Yeah, when you're a student athlete, you got to have your act together because it's today it's one game after another. You got your homework to do. You got finals. You've really got it. And they got pretty organized. And they go to a school where they give them a day planner when they're in the seventh grade and start teaching them how to use it. So I thought that was probably part of why they were so successful. They learned that they have to manage their time and they have to start on things ahead of time so they can get them done on time. And so they knew that pretty well starting from seventh, eighth grade.
Sure, sure. As you made your way through your career, you relied on a lot of people that you met along the way in your network. Talk the importance of just nurturing and building that network and where that can take people. Obviously, it has helped you.
Hey, listen, people ask me all the time. I get people call me and say, can I meet with you about my career? College kids. No, I say, sure. And somebody asked me, why do you meet with all these people? I said, because, you know, when you know people, things happen. Sometimes I'll meet with a student and 10 years later, something happens. Somebody just hired me that I met him in the fourth grade. He went to fourth grade with my son, and he's now an executive with a company in Vegas, and they hired me to give their annual speech to their company. So, you know, relationships matter. And you got it. I said to everybody, when you meet somebody, get the card, put it in your phone, and one day you might need it. And it's just, I've found that being available for people, helping people long before you need anything. Then one day, a lot of times things happen. I mean, you got somebody you can call when you're trying to help somebody with a job, or, you know, people that are 20 now are going to be in those executive positions, and they're going to be in positions where they make decisions. And I like to know as many people as I can, and I make it easy for them to get to know me and spend time with them so that I have the right relationship with them, where they feel like they want to help me when I call them 5 years later, 2 years later, a year later. So, and I try to get everybody to listen to my podcast, because that's a good way for me to keep in touch with them and them to hear from me.
Yeah, we'll put a link to the podcast and all your books and all the stuff that you're involved in here on our show notes. But I was telling you before, you talk about network, and I started following you about 10 years ago, and then started following Jody Mayberry. That took me into Mike Kim, that took me into, Jonathan Milligan and Matthew Hyatt, and all these people along the way that are developing personal brands and doing some things, some pretty cool things to help entrepreneurs and other people along the way too. So Lee, you probably didn't realize that the tree branch just kept growing and growing.
Well, it does. Jody's a good example. He called me one day and said, could I interview you for my podcast? I said, I don't even know what a podcast is. That was 3 years ago. And I did. And then he called back and said, you want your own podcast? I said, I'll do it as long as I don't have to do any work. I'll talk. You do all the editing and all. Now we're partners on several businesses. So, he happened to call me. And next thing you know, 3 years later, we're working on many projects together.
Well, I can say I thank you for your time, Lee. And, 10 years later, I finally get to talk to you as an interaction on our podcast. It was always kind of a goal, but I also told you, one thing that always surprised me that, you say you'll throw out your cell phone number, you throw out your email address, and you'll answer or you will write back. And we've exchanged a few emails over the years, and it was something that, you'll take the time and go have coffee with somebody. And I was honored to do that along with my daughter here, back in February when we were in Florida.
Well, I still have your photo in my camera. And your daughter. I really want, she's a sweet thing. You're okay, but she was a cute little girl.
Well, and a side note, I'll put a picture in there too, is my son is a huge Lego, son Daniel, big Lego kid. So he put together a little Starbucks scene with the four of us.
Got that on a shelf in our living room. My wife thought that was the most adorable thing she'd ever seen. She said, how did he do that? I said, I don't know. It's got Creating Magic on one side of the book cover, and it's got Career Magic on the other side. So pretty cool.
Well, Lee, I appreciate the time, and keep the magic going. We'll look forward to keep following you along the way.
All right. You take care. Thanks for having me on.
Such a privilege to get a chance to visit with Lee Cockrell. In the discussion that we talked about, networks and how important that is to have that network to bounce ideas off of, to make connections with. You never know when you're going to need a resource or a connection to flow through there. As I was talking through, I came across the Creating Disney Magic podcast in the last decade. And when you start going through and listening to those episodes, and there's so many good nuggets to pull out, and then started following the host of that program, Jody Mayberry. And it's amazing how that starts branching off into finding other influencers and other people along the way that I've found in my career adventure as we're looking to build our career adventure and our Jersey to Job brand and the work that we do. Coming across Michael Hudson. Also, Mike Kim is one of those connections along the way as an expert in career pivoting, as well as marketing and also building brands. Ray Edwards, and you could go, the list goes on and on and on, including a gentleman by the name of Jonathan Milligan, who is working right now helping to get my blog foundation started so we can start producing more content that's going to be of value to not only the student athletes, but the parents that are trying to figure out what is life before, during, and after competition at the collegiate level. So stay tuned. A lot of good things happening along the way here in Jersey to Job. Special invite Facebook group, Jersey to Job Community, coming online soon. Invite you to follow me on Twitter at Nate Clayburg. We do have a public Facebook page that's out there as well. But trying to connect with as many prospective and current and past college student athletes that are having the question of, what do I do after I'm done playing? And that question sometimes may not be something that comes up top of mind, but how do we encourage that? You'd be thinking broad picture beyond just trying to get that scholarship, beyond just trying to get playing time, beyond just trying to get bigger and faster and better at your sport and to graduate college. Well, those are all the tools during that period of time that's going to take you to your next stage. That could be professional as an athlete or professional in business or in medicine or education or engineering. Who knows where that path can go? Always be wondering where your career venture will take you.